Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Chelsea Echo Space. All things Conor Gallagher tonight. I'm just waiting for Jane for the score to come and join us. He is going to be joining us later on. When I say later on, within the next 30 seconds. Obviously, guys, just so you know, first things first, I'm going to lay some ground rules because that's what I need to do now because of the internet. So, in this space, if you want to get involved and you want to speak, which you will be doing later on in the show, once we've obviously said what we're going to be talking about and ask our thoughts, be respectful. Be respectful of other people's opinions. And we're not here for a shouting match. I understand in some cases that obviously Conor Gallagher is an extremely divisive character within the Chelsea community. So if you disagree with somebody, please do so in a respectful way. But the score is here now, so I'm just going to add him in as a co-host and he will come and join us right now. But I think first things first, if you haven't already listened to the Chelsea Echo 5 in 5 transfer show, which is available on all good podcasting platforms, please do make sure that tomorrow, well, not tomorrow, sorry, on Sunday, you do, because we'll be joined by Simon Phillips for the Chelsea Supplement. It is a good transfer show, if I say so myself. And obviously, Monday to Friday, you'll be getting your 5 bits of transfer news at 5 p.m. every single day in your podcast feed. So if you have been listening to it, drop a little thumbs up now, just so you know who has been. And if you haven't, what are you doing? Make sure you head across to the Chelsea Echo afterwards to make sure that you can get your 5 in 5 goodness. But the score is here, my friend. How are we?
Hi, mate. Yeah, I'm good, thanks. It's good to be back on these spaces.
It is.
Exciting times. Well, exciting times, I say. Conor Gallagher, it's not exciting times, is it? It's divisive times.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's something which a lot of people have obviously voiced their opinions on over the past few days, especially since the news has heated up. And obviously today, in no uncertain terms, I think it's fair to say that we've reached the soap opera climax. So before we go any further, let me just enlighten everybody, if you haven't figured out what's happened yet today, as to what has happened. And if you do know what's going on, you know, you just bear with us for a moment, because I'm guessing you'll have listened to 5 and 5, right? You've listened to the 5 and 5 show there, right, Score?
I have.
Why has no one else done it? This is I don't get it, guys.
Great stuff. You definitely should listen to it.
Stop it. You're making me blush. Anyway, get into it. Basically, what obviously in breakdown, I am going to read you the stories as they broke in chronological order. Some of these make sense.
I would also say where they come from as well, I think, because the source of a story is always
important. I'll do that as well. Yeah. But with that, okay. So, about, let's say, what was it? About 12 hours ago now, it's about 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, Sky Sports Live came and said that Conor Gallagher is still believed to be a new long-term contract at Chelsea. He's considering his options after a £3 million accepted. He then follows up by saying Conor Gallagher was part of Mauricio Pochettino's plans in January, but following the Argentine's departure, he's taken a fresh look at Gallagher's situation under new boss Enzo Maresca. This is by Alex Crook from TalkSport, who says Conor Gallagher remains open to signing a new long-term deal at Chelsea to bring him in line with the club's midfielders. That was spotted at the club's training ground this morning. This is then followed up by Cave from Sky, who says Conor Gallagher was told he was a player under the new style of play at Chelsea. It's now up to the player. Fabrizio Romano then comes out and says Chelsea didn't offer Conor Gallagher a longer deal as they're concerned that the higher position system under Mercer, he'd only be a squad player. Decision to play. Okay, similar vein to what Cabe Solica was saying. This has been followed up by who says Atletico Madrid know that Conor Gallagher's preference is to continue in England, but they hope to convince him not to end. This is then very swiftly followed by Alex Crook, who then said Chelsea have informed Conor Gallagher that he is no longer part of the first team group and will not be training with the first team when they return from their tour of the United States. Nizar Kinsella from the BBC then says Conor Gallagher believes, though, that he could force his way into the Chelsea team. However, with that being said, and the next big bits of news that were going to be arriving, Sky Cameron comes to get the deadline of the move. Barkley, who then says that Conor Gallagher had been told when he reports they will be permitted in the building and will be training with us. So obviously we've got five other bits to this so far that I've obviously got written down here from one of the Five and Five show earlier. But so far, I mean, when I read that from Tom Barkley score, I was
A bit shocked. I know, I mean, that sounds bad, doesn't it? It sounds really bad. And I do want to say this though. I've got a story from Ben Jacobs from 4 hours ago. That Chelsea will hold talks with Conor Gallagher to try and resolve his future today. They don't want any bad blood, recognising his status at the club, but he's turned down three new contract offers. And one of them is still on the table. Atletico Madrid want an answer by Monday, which has been reported elsewhere. Stories about him being forced out, not even allowed to train with the first team squad, I find that very hard to believe, honestly, especially given the sources. If it was David Ornstein saying it, then that's a different thing. But, I'm choosing not to believe those stories yet. If that was true, then I think, that would be a turning point for a lot of fans if that was actually true, because that's unacceptable.
Now you discussed Mason Mount on multiple occasions on Final Score, and Mason Mount was not forced out of the club, right? He was in a similar position where he was offered a contract, but the reality was that it feels like they wanted the pure profit, because they wanted to mark the mistakes they'd made in buying 27 million in Brazil. So with all of that being said, personally, no. And if I'm very British, I think him turning down the contracts makes sense.
Yeah.
In his position, I wasn't being appreciated. We realise that statement. But if I wanted to be brought up in line with the other midfielders, the wage packet would be there, but also the contract length would be there.
Yeah.
You're looking at 5, 6, 7, 8 year deals for all these midfielders at Chelsea. This is a 2+1. All this is was to add a little bit of extra cash flow on top so they could sell Gallagher for even more money next for turning it, because the identity of Chelsea is completely, it's not in a position where I don't know what I'm doing now. I appreciate some people saying that it's quite strong. What is the culture of Chelsea? Down the line, I'll keep talking whilst stuff out. But let me finish off what else we got, obviously, because Score touched on here and said that Ben Jacobs brought out the story where he was saying that Chelsea held talks with Gallagher and he turned down the contracts. The contract from Scott was still on the table, according to Cavi Solacol from Sky. That is a 2+1. And Ryan Taylor Sport, from, I believe he is The Express, said that Chelsea won't allow Conor Gallagher to leave on a free next year. Further talks will be held in the hope of resolving his future. The thing which makes me a bit even more sceptical about how this is being dealt with is that Simon Jones from the Mail said that Chelsea had cut short Conor Gallagher's holiday and told him that he would not, to tell him he wouldn't be part of the dressing room when he returns. Because obviously they've seen the fee be agreed with Atletico Madrid. To be honest, mate,
there's a lot of stories. This is the problem. There's a lot of stories going around from different people saying different things. And, you know, people are probably going to believe what they want to believe to a certain extent because there's a lot of, let's be honest, there's a lot of mistrust of the owners anyway, even before this, right? So, and their motives and what they're doing with, you know, some common players, and people are already sceptical, right? They're already not really trusting the club on this. And they've got fair reason to do that. You know, some people are very sceptical, and that's a perfectly legitimate point of view, I think. I kind of expected Conor Gallagher to be sold this summer. So, I'm disappointed. I don't want him to be sold, but I knew it was going to happen. But the way it's been handled again has been just so unprofessional. And, you know, amateur, quite frankly. You know, you could have handled it a lot better. If they come out and just said, look, he's not going to be part of Maresca's plan. He doesn't fit how Maresca wants to play. So we're not offering him a long contract, and we're open to selling him. Like, I wouldn't have agreed with that, but I would have respected it because it would be honest. And, you know, some people don't think he suits Maresca's style of play, and that's fair. I mean, I don't think he'll be in the first choice 11 when everyone's fit. I don't.
I think the question is, would everyone be fit though, mate, given the history over the past five, 6 years?
Yeah, we haven't got any injuries yet though. So, we've got less injuries than we had this time last year. I get your point for sure. But yeah, I mean, like, if they'd just come out and said that, and that they rated him as a player, but they didn't think he was going to be a key player and that they were selling him if they got a good offer. And they're willing to offer him a shorter contract, but not a longer contract because of that. Then I would have understood it, even if I didn't agree with it, right? It would have been like, okay, we're still going to respect him, like, you know, what he's given for the club and all that kind of thing, but we're open to letting him go. And, you know, that would have been more honest. And, you know, it's just this way of like, it's this constant kind of trying to manipulate the fans. And like insulting the fans' intelligence that I don't like. And that comes from the sporting directors, and I think it also comes from our CEO who called us customers and made fun of us. I think there's this kind of dismissive attitude sometimes, and it's not from everyone at the top of the club, because there are real fans at the top of the club who work for the club and do love the club, and there are sporting people there. Who, you know, who understand how sport works and how fans work. But there's also people up there who are corporate people or who are just bad man managers. You know, you've got Jurecek, and the sporting directors have to hold some responsibility because they're in charge of, you know, the playing side, the football side. They make these decisions and that's their job. That's what they get paid a lot of money to do. So they should be held responsible. Yeah.
Well, with that being said, I mean, I do think that the sporting directors are probably the ones to blame the most for this situation.
Yeah.
The way that they've handled player incomings and player outgoing has been amateurish for a club of Chelsea's stature. Now, when I say that, I think there's a lot of cases where I think over the past 20, 30 years, you've had fans of big clubs say they deserve to be somewhere. I think Leeds United's a great example, and so is Liverpool. Yeah. You know, Liverpool, we deserve this, we deserve that. You know, Leeds being the same when they came back to the Premier League. I'm not saying that Chelsea deserves to be anywhere, right? What I am saying is that Chelsea Football Club has a pedigree and a culture which had been developed over 25, 30 years. In that 25, 30 years, the identity was clear. the plan and the way things were going to be laid out was clear. And even though everyone didn't agree with it on occasions, and I think it was all fair to say that by the end of Roman Abramovich's tenure, we did think, okay, well, there's foundations here, but it just needs to be tweaked slightly. For the way that the sporting directors, and I feel that some of the board has behaved over the past 48 months, should we say, or 24 months, sorry, not 48 months, I can't do maths. 36 then, right? Over that period, they just ripped up everything, every shred of identity the club had, and have gone, we're going to do it our way. What is the point in getting a Premier League club of such stature and significance to then basically go, nah, we don't appreciate anything that's been gone by? And I appreciate what you're saying about there are people on the board that are sporting people that do have an understanding. But with that being said, evidently their voice is not being heard enough.
Yeah, that's fair.
Or they aren't putting it forward enough. Because in this situation where we are now, I find it difficult as a fan of Chelsea Football Club. And I look, and this isn't me looking at Conor Gallagher as the biggest reason, right? There's a multitude of reasons I disagree with how Chelsea's operating at the moment. But Conor Gallagher is just another example which reinforces the complete lack of understanding or willing to understand that is in place with the ownership and the sporting directors. These sporting directors have come into Chelsea Football Club from Brighton and Monaco and are continuing to behave like it's Brighton and Monaco. Before they arrived, 6 months before they arrived, Chelsea Football Club had won a Champions League for the second time. There is one player left from that 11 who is a starter for Chelsea or is not being even considered being sold. And that is Reece James. Every other player has either been put up for sale right now. I think, you know, Ben Chilwell is an example of that currently. They're saying he's fallen out of favour. Look, that's fine. You know, if he's not performing, then he's not performing. But that is every single player gone. Now, Trevor Chalobah and Conor Gallagher, I'm not just saying that I am annoyed at how they've been treated and the complete lack of understanding because they are Chelsea Academy graduates. It plays a factor, but it's not the main reason.
Right.
Because there are players that came to Chelsea over the past 20 years which had an understanding or bedded into the culture and bought into the culture that was in place and understood the history and et cetera, right? Conor Gallagher, Trevor Chalobah, Reece James, probably Ben Chilwell, I'd argue, are the only ones in that team that have an understanding of that culture.
I would argue Levi Colwell too.
Levi Colwell as well. Sorry, no, you're absolutely right. Levi Colwell as well. Right. With that all being said, every other player in that squad, their understanding, I feel, and look, this is me. I'm not there. I can't fully comment on it. But from what you see, it's going to be sold to them on marketing from an agency, which is bang on about certain things, which I bought into, by the way. I'm not going to sit here and say that I didn't think some of it was good. I thought their promotion for the Inter Milan game was absolutely unbelievable. But that's not what wins you games. That's not what has a cult. That's what not what identifies a culture.
Yeah.
You want to have that connection with the fans. And I, like you said, you know, we're being treated like customers. That was a conversation that was put out there. And I have not seen any movement from that. The one thing I really don't like about all of this is, and I'll shut up in a second. I'll let you say a bit. But what I notice with the sporting directors and with people higher up at the club, they love to take credit when things are going well. When things fall apart, where are they?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. And I spoke to somebody at the club today and they definitely recognise that they've got nowhere to go now. Like they've actually got to get results this season. They don't have a choice anymore, right? They've got to show that they were right by the results. And that's the only way they're going to, I think there's a recognition, but I think some people recognize it you know, it's not good between the club and the fans right now. You're right. I mean, the last 18 months, that's when the sporting directors came in, right? Before that, there'd been nothing about selling Conor Gallagher. And then at the end of that month, the first month they were in, they tried to sell him. They accepted a bid from Everton and he refused to go. And then last summer we had all that stuff with Spurs. You know, we didn't know who was going to stay till the last minute. And then he was one of our best players in the last season. And now, you know, this again. And here we are. And, and I'm disappointed. I'm really disappointed. I know what they're trying to do. I understand what they're trying to do, but they're not doing, they're not, the optics of it are awful and the way that they're handling it all is amateur, like you said. And, I think there's people at the club who do understand what Chelsea means, but you're right. They're not being listened to. They're not being listened to. And, I don't think like selling Conor Gallagher is like, we don't get the club. I think it's more that I don't think that there's certain people at the club that don't respect the fans. And there's some of the club that do, and this is really complicated. There's some at the club that do, but there's some that don't. And, you know, it's like they're willing to listen to fans on some things and not willing to listen to fans on other things. And, you know, that's a problem. And also, I mean, I've said this for like, literally since they took over, like 2 years ago. They need to talk to the fans. They need to sit down on Chelsea TV, whatever you call it now, the Chelsea YouTube channel, whatever it is. Talk to the fans. Like, tell them what are your ambitions? What do you want to achieve? Why have you made certain decisions? Like, what is the strategy? Like, it doesn't have to be like really specific, just in general terms. Like, and like acknowledge that maybe there's some mistakes along the way, right? And show respect to the fans. It's not like, and you don't have to do it all the time, but just doing it, even just doing that would make a huge difference. Like, yeah. Because some people would know, okay, this is what they actually want to do, right? They're telling us what they want to achieve, what their ambitions are, like where their ultimate goal is. Like, and they're talking to us like we're adults, you know, and not like we're children. And not like they know more about football than we do, because they don't. You know, we've been fans for what, our whole lives, right? They've been involved in football for 2 years. So they don't know a bit more about football than us. That kind of thing. I've been saying that for ages. And I know there's people at the club that think that's a good idea, but they can't get the owners to agree to do it, which is the problem. I don't want to hear from the sporting directors either, because I don't have much respect for them at the moment. The way they've handled a lot of these things has just been poor, you know, you know, if this season doesn't work out, it's them that's going to be on the... They can't escape this time because they've had four transfer windows. This is their team.
Will it be then, though? Sorry? Will it be then, though?
It should
will
be. It? I don't know whether...
It should be, yeah, but will it?
I don't know.
I mean, these guys have got the safest job in more football. Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, it depends. We don't know. Hopefully we have a good season. I still think we can have a good season, actually. I'm pretty optimistic about the season, but that's a whole different topic. I think this Conor Gallagher thing it's not even about Conor Gallagher, it's about the deeper stuff at the club, like, that we've talked about for ages, the lack of communication, the sporting directors, you know, but like, man management skills and PR skills and, like, you know, and all that kind of thing. And then just like, and some of the, and people that hire up at the club, the CEO of the club in particular, who doesn't come from the football world, right? Manchester United CEO, was Manchester City CEO and was really good at it. Like, he knows football, right? He's worked in football. He understands football culture. He wrote a letter to the fans on his first day in the job. Like, and it was a respectful one. I read it. It's very respectful. We want to meet you. We want to talk to you. I want to meet you. I want to talk to you kind of thing. And what his ambitions were, everything. Day one. Mm. Right? Our CEO on day one, literally, but first thing that we heard about him was him calling us, making jokes about the Chelsea fans and calling us customers. Right? It's just chalk and cheese, right? I'm not saying Man United are a well-run club by any means, because I'm not sure, I don't think they are. But just on the CEO front, like, that's chalk and cheese, isn't it? Like, you know, yeah. And it's like, it's not that difficult to, you know, get a CEO with football experience, but who's also got business experience, right? There's things out there. Like,
no, I agree. I agree. I think it's, yeah, I mean, there's real issues with all this. But I think, like, to bring it back to the issue at hand, which we're talking about today, like, you know, there's another, you mentioned the CEO there, it's just the lack of experience, the complete lack of experience within the areas of importance. Sporting directors being a big one, chief executive officer being a big one. You know, when Ben Agbali came out and said, you know, Tony Bloom's had a great example at Brighton, win as much as they lose. You know, it's a very venture capitalist mindset to look at a sports team. The reality is that the more you win, the more you make. That's a proven model for, I don't know, since football started. You know, it's all there. But look, I think for me, like, it's bringing back sporting directors, you know, I've put a tweet in here that I shared earlier, when I was talking about the 5-on-5 show about how Conor Gallagher's been treated. And obviously it's been extremely divisive. And I stand by that. I think that how he's been treated and Trevor Chalobah's been treated is appalling. When I was saying earlier that I was happy he's turned down the contract offer, I definitely would be as well, because if anything, from what he did last season, he's in credit. And I'm going to use the logic which I think anybody on Twitter would be using, which actually makes sense. And I'm not going to move the goalposts like a lot of people do, right? So I'm going to give you some statistics, and I'm going to give you, some facts, right? So whilst I find those statistics, I'll give you the other facts. Last season, Conor Gallagher, I think, is the only player who was the least injured player in the squad. He was the most featured. He was the club captain when our captain and vice captain were out injured. He stepped up to the plate to deal with issues on the pitch. He showed growth throughout the entirety of the season. And statistically, in most areas, Conor Gallagher was Chelsea's second best player behind Cole Palmer. Nobody statistically, numbers guys, so there's evidence to back it up, numbers guys, no one statistically did as much as Conor Gallagher. And the thing is with this, if he was a midfielder from Juventus or from Brazil, or in the case of our sporting directors, from Brighton, we'd be forking out £50-60 million to have him in our midfield. Chelsea Football Club have him for free. Trevor Chalobah, the last 13 games of the season where he featured, Chelsea were unbeaten.
Yeah, people always say that about Trevor Chalobah, and I think, obviously, he played really well in those games. First thing, he's an excellent player. I don't think he's the only reason we were unbeaten in those games.
He's not, but he was a big factor. If you look at how before that, when he wasn't in the team, it's just based on the eye test. The back line looked so much more comfortable.
Yeah, but I still don't. Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's true. But I think it's dangerous when you start kind of making like these kind of jumps from it's all because he was there, right? But like, I mean, I'm a big fan of Trev. Like, I want to keep him more than I want to keep Conor. Because of his, like, just because I think he suits how Maresca wants to play. I mean, he can play as a right back or a centre back or a defensive midfielder. He's perfect for that kind of inverted role that Maresca likes. And he's good on the ball. Right. That's the one that makes less sense to me. Like, Conor Gallagher, I can understand why some people might argue he's not as technical a footballer as, like, Lavia or Endo or whatever, like, and maybe he's not going to be in the first choice 11, you know, but with Trev, like, I don't understand it at all. And I think, like, and that's not because we've got other centre backs are bad. It's just because I don't understand why anyone would sell him. He's like, he's a perfect player, like, to play in, like, various positions, you know, like, even like we're playing 70 games this season, probably. We're going to get injuries. Mm. Players are going to get tired. We're going to need to have basically two 11s. Like, and so, like, there's definitely, like, there's no way that he wouldn't get him one of those two 11s. It's just.
I feel like if based on how people are talking about we're going to be playing, he's definitely the player you'd bring on later on in the game.
I'd bring him on every game. Really like, if he wasn't starting, I'd bring him on every game.
Exactly.
That's the guy. Exactly. He's like the Mikel, you know, you bring him on when you brought in, when he used to bring him on to like shore things up, right?
It's like a modern
Like the last 20 minutes or 30 minutes or so, like, and he'd still start a lot of games. I mean, don't get, like, he's a good player and he's got leadership qualities and like, he knows Chelsea. You know, he doesn't want to leave. These guys don't want to leave. That's the stupid thing. Like, people talk about Mason Mount. I personally think Mason Mount wanted to leave. But these guys don't want to leave. Conor Gallagher said he wants this on a longer contract. Right? And he turned down like two or three moves already. There's no sense. He might turn down this move as well. You know, I don't think he really wants to go.
And he doesn't.
I don't think he'd join Spurs either.
He wouldn't. Go on, mate. Sorry, Karen.
No, I mean, I just, if he doesn't go to Atletico, I think he'll end up staying until January. And then it'll be a mess in January. We'll have to, you know, be panicking to try and find a club for him. Because he could leave, he could sign a pre-contract with a club abroad then.
The whole situation is just an absolute mess. But it's I think. But then you mentioned Conor Gallagher. There are players that Chelsea have signed where I don't know why they've signed them. Leslie Ogechukwu, great up and coming young player. Did we need him? No. Angelo, no. Do we need him? I don't know. I don't really ever play for Chelsea. Jordi Petrovic, who by the way I thought was the better keeper than Robert Sanchez last season, is up for sale. He was signed by these current sporting directors, but then they're looking to sign another goalkeeper.
I know, I don't understand.
This is all this money they're wasting, right? They are wasting that money. Axel Disasi might come.
See, I don't think it's a waste of money necessarily because with young players, you tend to get at least back what you paid for them, and you often get a profit. And certainly with amortization,
Axel Disasi is not a young player.
So Chelsea make money out of them, even if they never play for us. And actually, I've just seen Simon Phillips here, my man. He wrote an article last week, which is a really good article. I highly recommend that. One of the reasons Chelsea are signing all these young players is because of PSR. Because their wage demands are a lot lower. And also you can probably turn them for a quick profit. Like some of them, the ones that don't make it, you can just turn for a profit or you get back what you paid for them. That's one of the big reasons we're going for this policy of signing young players is that because established players like Victor Osimhen, right? Victor Osimhen is on 9 million a year net. So 18 million a year he's on. That's 300 and something grand a week, right? And that's a lot of money for any club to pay, but I don't think we should be paying that kind of money to any player. Right. So they would rather pay, 120 grand, 150 grand a week to a younger striker, than pay 300 grand a week to Osimhen. Right. And I understand that because honestly, wages are getting a bit out of control in football. I don't like where it's going with wages. And we don't have an infinite amount of money coming in. You know, we don't have Abramovich just to sign off the checks to, pay to anything because he used to sign off money to if we went over PSR limits, he'd just write a check and make sure that we weren't over it. We don't have to think about that anymore. Like it's we can't act like that anymore because we don't have someone to do that.
I appreciate that, but then at the same time, it defies logic. I get what you're saying about they want to sign younger players and pay less money to them, right? But they can't expect the same output because. They've not got the experience. This is what I don't understand.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm with you. I've been talking about experienced players for
ages. Of course. You and I are on the same page with this. But it's this case of like, why do they go and continue down the vein and path that they're going down, but then expect better results all the time when things aren't, when there's not an understanding of the culture, the intangibles aren't being met as well as the tangible things that can be improved. You're then waiting for players to believe and trust in the process. But then when the process isn't working, you change the manager all the time. Then you change the manager all the time. You need to make things. It's just like nothing makes sense. Nothing makes sense. And then this Conor Gallagher situation is just another one on top of that, where you go, well, why have you done that? Again, I'm reading comments here and people are sort of saying, oh, why are you so annoyed about it? Conor Gallagher was Chelsea's second best player last season. Arguably, without Cole Palmer, who was obviously far ahead and definitely clear with it, the best player of the season last season. He was player of the season. And we are looking at this like he is just some bang average player. Conor Gallagher might not be to everyone's taste, but statistically, guys, numbers, as well as the eye test, he was Chelsea's second best player. I don't understand why people are so over him. You know, I don't get it. I appreciate that he might not be to everyone's taste, but if you look at it, number, because this club want to be data driven, right?
Yeah.
So why are they ignoring the data on this player? So they ignore the data on this player because they've made a mistake and they don't want to own up to it. I get what you're saying about we're signing lots of young players. But then also, all these great players we have in the academy, right?
Yeah.
Who have developed Chelsea. I saw your tweet earlier about it being the Harvard of
yeah. I absolutely believe that as well. I think I wrote an article on this as well. So I'm excited. Like, I think there's like a bit of a misconception and a different way we need to see Cobham. Like, I mean, first, like, the majority of players who come through Cobham aren't going to be good enough for the Chelsea first team, right? But they might be good enough to be Premier League players. They might be good enough to be Championship players. They might be good enough to play in one of Europe's top divisions, right? And, yeah, I mean, like the goal of the Chelsea Academy, or success for the Chelsea Academy, one could, I'm not saying I believe this, but I think there's, well, maybe I do believe this, but when you have a lot of, when your club is producing a lot of players who then go on to have successful football careers, whether it's at Chelsea or elsewhere, that is a good academy. That is an academy that you want to send a talented player to, because you know they're going to get a good football education and they're going to get a good, when Chelsea educate their academy guys well in terms of schooling. Right? It makes them prepare them in case they don't make it at football. Right? I think Fekir Tomori did this kind of business degree or something like that. Yeah. Like, example, just like they say that they help players outside of football so that they've got good qualifications if they don't make it in football. And obviously the coaching, we all know how good the coaching is at Cobham. All of that. Like, I mean, look at the number of players, like the Cobham players that are out there right now in world football. You know, you've got Solanke at Bournemouth, you've got Ake at Man City, you've got, you know, Masela, you've got Declan Rice, right?
Mark Gay,
he's going to Newcastle apparently. Like, so, you know, Livramento, Lewis Hall, like, it's, and all over Europe, there's like Tammy Abraham, Tomori, Boga. Loftus-Cheek, like Aina as well. There's so many, like, and they've all had good careers, right? And some of them have been at Chelsea, and some of them haven't been at Chelsea. But it still says a lot about Cobham that they're all successful. They've all had good careers. But I know what you're saying, in that, like, what you would like is that Chelsea, the Chelsea first team squad, to have a core of academy players, even if some of them are just squad players, right? And like, I don't think there's any reason why we shouldn't do that. If they're good enough, right? And I think
Trevor
Chalobah is good enough to be in the Chelsea squad, 100%. And so is Conor Gallagher, and they should be kept.
Exactly.
There's no reason to sell them apart from, you don't think they fit the style of football that we like, or you just want to make a profit on them. Which,
but this is the argument.
Which doesn't even make sense as an argument, because you can sell other players and make a profit on them, like. You know what I mean? You could sell, like, you sell Datro Fofana and you sell Cassidy, like, even for like 20 million each, you're going to make about 10, 15 million on each player in terms of cash profit, given their amortization value So why do you need to sell? You don't need to sell Cobham players to do that, to make net profit. You can do it with other players.
It's even the quality, like you're saying. I mean, when I get what people are saying, when they're like, oh, Conor Gallagher doesn't have the technical prowess to play in an Enzo Maresca system. Look, I'm going to sit here and say that I've watched prime Enzo Maresca ball all the time, right? This will be the first season where it's even active in the top flight. So, again, he's already said in his opening presser, trust the process. So it's not going to be an easy ride, right? But to make it easier for yourself, you would think, I'm not even talking from a playing stab on it, politically, you'd want to keep players around that people value, that fans value, that can help you win people over. If you think about, okay, we'll talk about the quality of Chelsea players gone by, right? I think I was on the phone to Gary earlier talking about this, and he made a great example, right? And I'm not saying that Conor Gallagher holds a candle to these guys in terms of the quality of player he is, but it's kind of an example of an intangible, and people say the emotive side of things doesn't matter. This is where the politics will really help Enzo Maresca this season, because I think there is going to be a period where everyone's going to be seeing we're going to get awful results, and everyone's going to be really annoyed. So when it gets to that, you're going to want someone who can win people over, and Conor Gallagher can be that person, as could Trevor Chalobah. Because with that situation, I'm talking about here, right, when all the managers came in after Mourinho, all the way through to Conte, right? They had Drogba, maybe not, obviously not Conte didn't, but, you know, they had Drogba, they had Lampard, they had John Terry, right? It was a core of players who understood and valued the culture of the club, which whenever players arrived, they helped implement with them.
Yeah.
They said, this is the situation, this is how things operate, right?
Yeah.
And by the way, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying the quality of player is, hear me out. So with all of that being said, right, in that situation, the players, the times where managers failed when they didn't have the support of people because they'd written people off, you look at Scolari, you look at Andre Villas-Boas. Andre Villas-Boas wrote them off, said they were too old. They come back and they carry themselves to a Champions League trophy when he gets the sack. Scolari, oh, they can't play my system. He leaves. Next season, Carlo Ancelotti arrives. The team win the double. Lampard, it becomes, you know, credit. He has, I think, the highest scoring season for a midfielder. Drogba has one of his very few 30 goals a season, right? The quality of player, I'm not saying is the same. But the politics that can be used in this situation and be made up for, the emotional intangibles, when you're on the training pitch, no one works harder than Conor Gallagher. That's been said by pretty much most players that he's played with. Because he's not maybe got the same technical gifts. But he tell you what, he'll work hard and he'll set an example in training, which is what people need if you want to be an elite club. There's always going to be somebody who's maybe not the best player on the pitch, but they work harder than everyone else, and that brings everyone else's levels up so they can improve and push forward. You think James Milner was the best player at Man City or the best player at Liverpool when he was there? Of course he wasn't. But because of how hard he worked, it set an example for other people. Conor Gallagher is our James Milner. Every team needs one of those guys. You couldn't tell me who that is in this team after that, because we don't have it. It's something where him and Trevor Chalobah are those players which you rely on, that you know will give you a 6, 7 out of 10, and maybe the odd 8 or 9. You need those players in the team. But, unfortunately, because they're not sexy names, because they're Cobham players, and everyone thinks someone's a Cobham Setfield because they want to keep a young Cobham player, not because the quality of the player brings to the team, they don't want to... They want to go sign some lad from Juventus. Or we'll get some 18-year-old from Brazil who's the next best thing, which then mean that we have to sell somebody else who is probably better than them in our academy. And also, what does it say to all those players in the academy? I understand. Like I said, we both said it's a conveyor belt, right? We've both admitted that. It is a conveyor belt, the Chelsea academy. But the odd gems that come through that are good enough to get in are not going to be given the opportunity, because the politics of the situation is, unfortunately, the club will have overspent on players which are either going to be bang average or have projected to be really good. When you already look at it, like, okay, but don't you guys want results now? Yeah, we want results now, but we want the players to be good in the future. It doesn't work like that. If you want results now, you need some players that are results now driven.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple. Yeah. It's pretty simple.
I hear all of that. I will make a few points. Like, first, I said this before as well. In that greatest ever Chelsea team that we had, only one player came from the academy. One. And it was John Terry.
Yeah.
Right? he brought that culture into the club. And, but like the other players came in when, I mean, oh God, people don't remember this, 2001, right? 2001, we sold Dennis Wise, we sold Frank Leboeuf, we sold Gus Poyet, and a few others who've been legends at the club. I really knew the club and got the club, right? And we brought in a ton of young players who had no history at the club. Like, Frank Lampard was West Ham. He was a West Ham Academy player. He wasn't anything to do with Chelsea at that point, right? And he brought in William Gallas. He brought in, who else did we bring in that summer? Like Zenden, I think. And we brought in Petit, right? We brought in those players. Kudachidi came into the club, I think, around then as well. We had Marian Melchiot and Good Johnson was still quite young and Hasselbank was there, right? So, yeah. But the point is, you have a few players who do understand the culture, who pass it on to the next generation, right? And I think we still have those players, by the way. Reece James is our captain, right? He's a lifetime Chelsea fan. He gets it. He knows it. And he was here when we won things. He was here when we won the Champions League. He was here when we won the Super Cup and the Club World Cup. He was here with Aspie and people like that. So I don't think we're losing it completely, but like you say, I agree with you. Like Conor Gallagher is a great professional, works hard, great attitude, sets an example on the pitch and off it. You know, he's that, the James Milner comparison is very, very good, very spot on. You know, like that's, James Milner doesn't always play for any of the teams that he's joined. Doesn't always start, but he's around and he's a professional and he sets an example on the training pitch and he's Mr. Dependable. Aspilicueta was that. Aspilicueta wasn't a world-class player. He was Mr. Dependable. Like 7 out of 10, almost every game. Always good in training, always worked hard, always gave everything, always committed. Like, you need those players in your squad. And if nothing else, I mean, I think there can be more than this, but Trev and Connor can be that. Like, you know, and I don't think they'd settle for that forever, but they would do it for a couple of years. You know, if they were just doing that and they were starting 20, 30 games a season and were kind of rotational players, but were influential behind the scenes and got, and had, you know, and set the Chelsea culture with Reece James and Levi Colwell, I think actually, just Levi Colwell gets the Chelsea culture. It's just those intangibles do matter in football. You're right. They absolutely do matter. They are data. Like, they're not numbers on a spreadsheet, but they're still data, and you still need those things to win. Like, you know, I mean, like Rodri from Man City, it's not just he's a world-class player, but he's got these intangibles. He's a leader. He works really hard. He demands the highest standards from everybody else in training and in performance. And he has a go at them if they don't produce them. Like those kind of things you can't see on a spreadsheet. And Conor Gallagher has a lot of those qualities. You know, and I mean, I have a lot of faith in the young talent that we're buying. And I hope that Reece James and Levi Colwill and people like that can convey a bit of Chelsea culture to them. I mean, like some of the players we signed are Chelsea fans, which helps. So, like, you know, Caicedo and Fofana, like they grew up idolising Drogba and Kante and all those kind of people. That always helps. That would be one of the benefits of Osimhen if we did sign him, would be that he's idolised Didier Drogba his whole life and wants to follow in his footsteps. So, you know, those kind of things are good as well. Like, that was one of the reasons everyone wanted Declan Rice, because he's from a Chelsea family. He grew up supporting Chelsea and, you know, and also he come from Cobham as well originally. But I mean, obviously that didn't happen, but these are the reasons that some of these players you can find players that are not from Cobham, but still love the club and understand the club. But you still need those players like Conor Gallagher, like the dependable 7 out of 10s you're going to give him, you know, are going to, doesn't get injured. He never gets injured, Conor Gallagher. Trevor Chalobah was injured most of last season, but other than that, he's not really had too many injuries. Like, yeah, and it's just like, it's a bit frustrating when people who are meant to know about football, the sporting directors, don't actually understand this.
Which I find insane, by the way. It's like, yeah, they've been in football long enough to surely understand certain things like that.
Yeah.
That's what I don't understand. Like, they what was it, best in class we're supposed to be in? Well, the best in class would understand about the intangibles. Why are we having to balance the books because we're signing so many 12-year-olds? You know what I mean? It's one of those. But yeah, I think you and I have spoken for long enough, mate. I think we've said our piece for 50 minutes. Now we are going to open the floor. So anybody who wants to come in and chat with us, please feel free to do so. But that is not really my domain. So I've got to hand the reins over. Score, mate. You do the final score show. You're the one who hosts that. I'll let you take on these callers, mate. And I'll chime in whenever you need.
All right, stick around, Louis. We're definitely going to need your views. I always love hearing from you. There's some good people here. I can see some good people that I know will have good views. So do make sure you come up. We'll try and give you, we'll give you a few minutes. Kind of try and make your point succinctly and clearly, and yeah, don't get into abuse and emotional stuff and get too carried away. Just make a clear point and argument and we'll talk about it and we'll discuss it. And, because I think everyone's entitled to their views on this, but just convey that in a respectful way and respect other people's views. It's really important. We all have different views on this, and all our views matter because we're all Chelsea fans. So at the end of the day, we want the same thing. We want Chelsea to be successful. So, all right. Okay. So I can see my friend Togs here. I will get you as I can see you, and Togs up, first. So I'm going to bring Togs up first and then we'll take it away. So Uncle Togs, I think I know what your views are on this, but I'm interested for you to share them with everybody else. So, welcome.
Hello. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, doing well.
I'm a bit late to this. I went out with a dog. So, if I repeat anything that's already been said, please forgive me. Yes, I kind of have been saying this about the sporting directors for ages. I think having glorified scouts as a technical director is an accident waiting to happen. And it's proven that to happen. You know, when you walk into the room with Paul Winstanley and Lawrence Stewart and you get laughed out the park because you can't negotiate for toffee, then you're going to come unstuck because you haven't got a reputation. You know, I mentioned a long time ago, and people can laugh at this as much as they like, but you get Paolo Maldini walking into the room with Tony Bloom, and Tony Bloom is acquiescing to Paolo Maldini because of who he is. Okay?
Yeah.
The greatest defender of all time walks into the room, negotiates your deals for you. You're going to bend over backwards for him because of who he is. Lawrence Stewart and Winstanley walk into the room, and they're laughed out the room. You know, Rui Costa laughed them out the room in January for Enzo Fernandez until Ed Barley had to take over. You know? Yeah.
And it was the same with Caicedo, wasn't it, as well?
Yeah, exactly. And that's my whole point. The reason why Gallagher's being sold is because these guys have overspent because they can't negotiate. It's a simple cast iron fact of the matter. They cannot negotiate. They are of a level of Brighton and Monaco, who, with all due respect, are not six times European champions like Chelsea are in Champions League, Europa League and Cup Winners' Cup. They're not five times Premier League champions. They don't have the same quality at those two clubs. This is Chelsea Football Club, who should be having the greatest directors in the world, the greatest players in the world, and the owners who understand that. Now, I'm not going to get into an Abramovich versus Clear Lake argument here, but we've been selling Cobham players for donkey's years. A certain lady who everybody used to love, who you can't say boo to a goose at, used to sell players left, right and centre from Cobham, but everybody thought she was wonderful.
Oh, yeah. I'll just make a little point in there. In the summer of 2019, when Frank Lampard took over, Marina Granovska, and we had a transfer ban, by the way, Marina Granovska accepted a bid from Crystal Palace for Reece James. In fact, Reece James' dad actually said this on a podcast. And the only reason we didn't sell him is because Frank Lampard blocked it. and that was when he had a transfer ban. We couldn't even replace him. So, yes, this has been happening for a while. Luckily, we've still got Reece James. Thank God. Thank God for Frank Lampard. Gosh. Yes. Continue, Tog. Sorry, I interrupted you. You still there, Tog? No, no, he's gone. Gone silent. Right, Louis, just your thoughts on what Tog said. And I'll get the next guy up while you're speaking, Louis.
Yeah, no, I think we raised that point on the fact that we used to sell camera products left, right and centre. I didn't know that about Reece James. That's very interesting. And that would have been insane. But yeah, I think it's really important that, you know, it's fair to say that we do recognise that. The only reason I'm getting so annoyed about it now is because we're shifting players on without anyone knowing what the identity is. I wouldn't mind it if I knew we had a solid identity and the players we were bringing in were better than what we had. I don't think the vast majority of players we bring in are better than what we have. I'm being brutally honest. I think Leslie Odorchukwu is a good example of that. We're bringing him in. Why? Why is he there? Oh, because we need taller players in the team. Right, okay, so why are you selling X, who's taller and is actually really better than someone? Why are you selling Y so we can fund a move for a Brazilian kid who could actually impact the team right now? Because you want those results right now. That's why I'm getting so worked up over it. Because it's just illogical examples after illogical examples.
Yeah, good points. All right, love hate with Chelsea. Coming up. What have you got to say?
Yeah. Thanks, Louis. I just want to kind of bring another perspective to the conversation, and I quite agree with the fact that the way Clearlake has been selling off players is not good. There needs to be an improvement in that way. The way they treated players has not been quite good, especially common players. Though in the past we saw Cuban players, but we kind of approach it with a bit of respect and dignity. And there needs to be more than that. Because even in the long run, we're kind of shortchanging ourselves by the time we're kind of banning our academy senior players, former academy senior players into the reserves. It doesn't look well on the whole sporting structure. I'm even going into the negotiation with the clubs as well. However, from looking at Gallagher's issue, I want us to look at the fact that last summer, He was potentially on his way out to be sold before the appointment of Pochettino and kind of one of the players that suited perfectly well Pochettino's style. However, this time around, Pochettino no longer around, and Marika's style is quite different from Pochettino. No, Pochettino's style is more about running around, physicality, intensity, and the likes, while Marika's style is more about a calm approach to the game. And I believe that Gallagher could have seen the signs on the wall after the appointment of Maresca and kind of engage his advisors and his agency to start looking at for potential clubs. He shouldn't have kind of approach it the way he shouldn't have gotten to this junction. And with the old case of Chalobah issue happened about 2 weeks ago, Gallagher's team and his agency should have kind of moved faster. They should have moved fast. I believe that's my own opinion. I believe they should have kind of approached this summer with a bit of caution and looking at, okay, who is the coach coming in? Am I going to suit the style of the coach? If not, then I need to start looking out for potential clubs as well. In the inside too as well, I believe that the sporting directors have made a lot of mistakes, and they also have a little few wins as well too. However, I feel that they are kind of quick to move on players that will not suit maybe the short-term, long-term agenda of the coaching appointment. I hope the America appointment will be successful in the sense that we have a 5 to 6 year, 7 year plan where we have the likes of the core of Enzo, Caicedo, Estavo forming the core of the team. And we already know the kind of players we'll be looking out for in the transfer market. We all know that when Guardiola also kind of got to Man City, there was Catagon approach. They were trying to sell everybody all at once, Bakary Sagna, Zabaleta, picking up every player from the Premier League at ridiculous prices. So I believe this is just a learning curve for Chelsea as a whole. And I believe that it shouldn't be this kid of Gallagher's game shouldn't be the sprint that should have done better. But I believe that Gallagher's team should have also kind of anticipated it and kind of move on with a little bit of respect. That's my own opinion. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for your views. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there. I think certainly about the sporting directors. I think the Chelsea fans are pretty united on the sporting directors now, to be perfectly honest. Varying degrees of criticism, but certainly everyone is critical of them now. And again, I've said this before, it would really help if we just communicate with us and told us what they're doing and why they're doing it and where they want to get to. And, you know, it wouldn't take much for them to do that, you know, and it doesn't make sense to me why they haven't done that yet. And it doesn't help. Like, and interestingly, you mentioned Manchester City because Manchester City, I mean, part of their model is selling their academy players. They've made some really big mistakes in the last few years. They sold Lavia, like, and we all saw how good he was the other night, and how much potential he has. And they sold him and bought Calvin Phillips, who now can't even get in the West. You couldn't get even in the West Ham team, and now they want to sell him. Like, messed up when Man City want to sell him. They'll probably make a loss. That was an awful decision. Cole Palmer, we all know about Cole Palmer, right? How good he was. And no one's going to convince me they don't regret it after how well he did. No one's going to convince me of that. And they signed Doku, who's a good player, a really good player. But, you know, like, Cole Palmer did better than him last season. Man City have made this mistake as well, even though they're winning. But Man City fans don't care because they're winning everything. And they're dominant, like, and that's the bottom line. If your team's winning, if Chelsea were winning Premier Leagues regularly at the moment, and we were winning Champions Leagues, and we were winning trophies consistently, this wouldn't be as big a deal as it is. But, like, the fact that we're not, and the fact that we're selling someone who could probably help us win trophies, because of all the reasons that we said, is why people are so angry. And we don't understand why this is being done when what we're seeing on the pitch doesn't fit with how the club are treating them. Like, because they're performing well on the pitch and then getting treated like they perform badly, which doesn't make any sense. So yeah, thanks for that. Right. So Truth is up next. Right. Let's add him. All views are welcome here. Like, if you think Conor Gallagher should be sold, then that's fine. You know, we want to hear every point of view. We want, because we've all got different points of view. As long as you make the point respectfully and stuff, that's fine. So, Truth, what's your view? You can unmute yourself.
Going once.
Why?
Going twice.
Okay. Right, we'll bring the next guy up. Love Hate's requested again. He's already spoken once, but I'll bring Hezzy up.
Rahman, I'll see you in there, mate. Come on.
We want you up. We want you up. But if you say you want to come up. Okay, Hezzy, you're up now. I'd love to hear your views. Unmute yourself and share your thoughts with us.
Nobody wants to talk. It's really sad.
Con,
I see you in there. Drop a request, mate. Come on. I want to hear what you want to
think. Oh, yeah, definitely want to hear from Con. Yeah. 100%. That'd be great. All right. Okay. So, Raman's up. Fantastic. Okay. Raman, you're up. Let us know what you think.
I mean, thanks for having me and on your space. And yeah, kind of really interesting takes from everyone. It's the Conor situation is kind of really sensitive in so many ways, depending on who you're speaking to. If you're speaking to people within the clubs, I think they have a different view of it. If you're speaking to people close to Conor, kind of different view. But one thing is certain. And I think one of the guys mentioned it, that the communication is just not good enough. And I think it's clear that everybody is looking after themselves. And so Connor is in every right to look after himself. And he's in a far better situation than Trev. Trev has got 3 years on his contract. So you literally can't sit out 3 years. And Connor can sit out for 6 months, just 6 months. And by the time when the season kicks off by Christmas, he's able to speak to clubs abroad. I just think that if you want to sell a player, there are ways to go about it. I don't think the club is going about it the right way. And, I think that's a bit of rush in it. And yeah, a lot of these things can be handled behind closed doors. And I think it's also just being compounded by the fact that Connor had a really good, strong season last season. And I was just making this like submission to a friend before this pod started. I mean, Connor is one of the lowest earning senior players at Chelsea. I mean, he's on like 3.5 million a year. And I love Carney. Carney is kind of really good, but Carney is on maybe 6.5. And the highest earner maybe we're told is like maybe Enzo Fernandez. You would wonder how much they will have to up Connor's contract to get him closer to even that. So Connor is kind of looking at all these figures and thinking that if you're going to give me a contract, you've got to actually give me a contract that reflects my standing in the team. But the problem is Connor's standing in the team, from what he thinks, is kind of different from what the club also think his standing is. And that's the gap they have to fill. But speaking to people around is, it's not the ideal situation, and they need a solution. I don't think the briefings yesterday helped, because that also meant Connor's camp had to try and clarify the situation. And I've just broken down some of the figures to you. Yeah, it's not quite really encouraging.
Yeah, good points, Roman. Really good. Again, a lot of the things we all agree with, you know, that it's not been handled well by the club. And, we just actually had a press conference with Enzo Maresca, and he's been asked about Conor Gallagher. He was asked if Conor Gallagher would be allowed to train with the first team. And he said that, at the moment, there is no update. The only thing I can say is he was in contact with the club to find a solution. I'm going to share that in the group. So it's there. I've shared it. That's Enzo Maresca just now on Conor Gallagher. I'm not sure. And then he also said the main focus in the moment it's now for the club, for Conor and for me, is to find a solution. The moment they find a solution, I think everyone will be happy. I'll be honest. I'm not sure if Conor Gallagher is going to be a starter under Enzo Maresca. I'm not sure. I think he'll be more inclined to go with, you know, like Caicedo, Enzo, Lavia, as his midfielders. I mean, I'll be honest, Lavia was really, really good the other night. I was really impressed with him. The football was really good. And yes, of course, the take into account the opposition, but still, it was a really good performance. I mean, if that's his prerogative, you know, that's the manager's prerogative. And I have sensed a shift this summer in terms of the overall philosophy of the club, and it feels like it's being driven by Joe Shields, with Enzo Maresca being hired as a manager, with taking people from the Man City Academy to run our academy, hiring a coach with a similar football philosophy as Enzo Maresca for the under-21 team and also for Strasbourg as well. There seems to be a bit of a shift. They want all the teams to play the same style of football, which is kind of Enzo Maresca's style of football. And of course, we know that Enzo Maresca knows Joe Shields, and, you know, we've seen Joe Shields' influence grow. So there does seem to be that way pushing. So, you know, I wouldn't blame Conor Gallagher for wanting to leave if he wants to start regularly, because I don't think he's going to start regularly this season. But the way it's not that, it's the way it's been handled by the sporting directors, as Raman said, and as obviously Louis has said as well, that is the problem. That the way they've handled it from a man management perspective, from a publicity perspective, from a perspective of respect for the player, it's not good. It's not good. It's not professional. But it's not, to me, how a top club operates. And I think that's one of the biggest problems. So thanks, Raman. We'll keep you up.
Just to add, while Raman's here, after you and I, Raman, obviously spoke last week when we were doing the supplement show about all of this. I mean, it seems like a lot of what we were talking about has come to pass, does it not? Do you feel that there's any other way that if Chelsea could have handled this and should have, realistically, or do you feel that there's this is what we come to expect from Chelsea Football Club now?
I mean, I saw Gallagher every home game last season and some games away. I genuinely think there's a space for Gallagher in Chelsea. I think Gallagher feels that he's competitive enough to fight for a space. And last season, if somebody said to you that Trev will kick a ball for Chelsea, you wouldn't believe it, because he got injured in preseason, got about 3 different injuries when he was trying to come back, and eventually he fought his way back and was a key player at the end of last season. Connor's situation again is that he knows that his contract situation favors him, so it's not a disaster if he stays. What Chelsea, in my opinion, should have done is just play ball with Connor. Even if you wanted to sell him, there's a way to go about it. Literally, just as much as possible, don't leak it to the press generally, or don't do briefs. You kind of say, okay, he was given contracts this way or that. And I think the biggest mistake you can ever make as sporting directors or club is tell the world you're desperate to sell a player, because that eventually just knocks down the value of the player in the eyes of potential buyers, if that makes sense. And it's also a consequence of recruitment. I think a lot of players have been brought in to take over his position. And I love Joe Shields. I think he's a brilliant scout. I mean, he scouted Palmer when he was 7, scouted Rune Lavia when he was probably 8, took them to Man City, took Lavia from City to Southampton. When he became Chelsea chief scout, he brought Cole Palmer at a time even when the manager then didn't want him. And by far, his foresight has been great. And you can see some of the top talents he's been able to identify. Joe is incredible with stuff like that. But I just think that, when you have players, not everyone is going to be the same level of technical gift. You need those who are technically gifted, and you need those who are grafters, and together they can form an incredible team. So I'm in that camp, and I'm going to upset a lot of Chelsea fans by this, but I'm in that. And I say this because Connor is not even really the most media friendly. Most of the times we're in mixed zone and Connor is not speaking to us, or he's got a phone on his ear and he goes. But professionalism is key, and anytime he plays for Chelsea, you can see in his eye that it means something to him. And normally with players like this, you just kind of give them a certain level of respect, even if you don't want them to be part. And that's where my concern is. This whole situation could have been handled better.
Absolutely agree. I think that's a very, very good point. Very well made. And Joe Shields, I think that's one of the things again that unites the fans. Everyone thinks Joe Shields is great, and he is. He really is, and they're right to give him more responsibility and more influence, because he knows football, he knows players, and players respect him as well. You've got to remember that. I mean, he was the driving force behind Elise coming here, and I think one of the reasons Elise was open to Chelsea was because of him. And again, Cole Palmer, Romeo Lavia, they all came in because of him. So, really, yeah, I mean, and if he's having an influence on the football structure at the club, that's a really good thing because he knows football. And also, he's a Chelsea fan, Joe Shields. You've got to remember that too. So, you know, it's not bad having a best-in-class scout who's a Chelsea fan and who has links to Manchester City. So, yeah, but you're right. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what Joe Shields thinks of this, because I remember that Joe Shields, a couple of, is it last year, 18 months ago, or when he first joined, he posted on his Instagram Levi Colwill shirt, Chelsea shirt, and a Reece James Chelsea shirt, just indicating how good he thought these players were. So I'm really interested to see what he thinks of Conor Gallagher. I'm sure that he rates him, but that's an interesting thing. Okay, we've got some people here. I'm going to bring some people up who have requested. Swag has been around for a while, so I'm going to bring him up. A New York-based Chelsea fan. Guy from the States. Fantastic. I just got married to an American, so I love America. So Swag, once you're connected, you can unmute yourself and then we can hear about what your views are on Conor Gallagher and on all the things we've been talking about tonight. But it's, I think he's having a trouble connecting at the moment. Okay, we'll wait for that to happen. But yeah, Enzo Maresca's been speaking. I think his comments are coming up live now. I think he just wants it resolved really before it disrupts the team too much. We've got a game against Manchester City coming up, friendly, this weekend. So that's going to be good. That'll be a real test for us. Although they haven't been winning in pre-season either. They lost to Celtic 4-3, I think, their last game. Yeah, so, but Swag's struggling to connect. So I'm going to bring up, the next guy, Moe, an aspiring Renaissance man, according to his profile. Wait for that to connect. And here he goes. Okay, Moe, what are your thoughts? You're going to mute yourself and just talk and share your thoughts with us. Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. So real quick, I don't think we need to sell Connor. I agree with a lot of the points that have been made, by I think Louis and Rahman. This is just a culmination of us spending money in horrible ways, like a horrible squad allocation. Like we have 6 first team goalkeepers, right? And now we need to balance the books because we've just spent so much money, right? From the playing side of things, right? I was looking up like some stat recently that Sky Sports put up, right? And for almost all stats, like chances created, interceptions, tackles, interceptions, possession won, all of that, Connor is either the first or the second person, right?
Yeah, that's
now,
right.
If you're trying to build a system, right, a possession-based system, football is played with the ball and without the ball. If you look at Man City, right, what happens when Man City lose the ball? All of their players run around like headless chickens trying to retrieve the ball back, right? You need your... I think that's Pep's secret. He's managed to get the flair players, the De Bruyne's, the Foden's, the Bernardo Silva's to run around and win the ball back. We don't have players that do that. Mudrik doesn't run around and win the ball back. Madueke doesn't do that. Palmer does that sometimes. Jackson is the only one really, and then Caicedo, right? You take out Palmer, you take out Conor Gallagher, right? Anytime we lose the ball, it's going to take us even longer to get it back. We might be prettier on the ball. Yeah, it'll be sexy passes here and there. But once we lose it, who's going to win it back, right?
Yeah, that's it. That's a good point. I mean, and Enzo Maresca actually commented on this the other day. He talked about how, you know, in terms of when Pochettino was in charge, he was watching us even then, and he was noticing how bad our pressing was.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to win the ball back. And he actually said there's been a conscious decision in pre-season this season to improve that and to become a lot better at pressing and winning the ball back. And so I think that's something that's a good spot, by the way. And it's something, I think that's something that Enzo Maresca has spotted as well. And it makes you wonder why he, you know, why he wouldn't want Conor Gallagher on his team if that's what he wants to do, actually. But, yeah, good points. That's some really good stuff there. Thanks for sharing that. Louis, your thoughts on what was just said?
It was every single word of it was true. And it's what we, me and you and I have been saying for a long time. I like how, Moise used the terms there of it'll look sexy on the ball, but who's going to win it back? That is the voice of a real football fan.
Yeah.
And that's something I appreciate. Someone's going to sit there. He's like, because it can't always be sexy. Football is not always sexy. And if everyone wants to be like Pep Guardiola, I think it's fair to say that if we were all like that, football would be boring. So let's add a little bit of crazy and a little bit of just running around like a Labrador. I like that with Conor Gallagher. And he does have the technical prowess. It's just simple passes. I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah. Well said. Yeah, thanks for your comments. Roman, what are your thoughts on what he said?
No, I think it's a fair point. It's a fair point. I've always said, I mean, I said on the supplement show that I think there's space for somebody like Conor in Chelsea's team. I still maintain there's space for him. I think he's going to try as much as possible to make this as uncomfortable. And I see that kind of, so Conor is what you see. He doesn't have double personality. When things hurt him, you can tell. And I say this as somebody who watched him quite really close when he was at Palace and was easily by far their best player under Vieira. And I spoke to Vieira quite often and he would rave about how his attitude is infectious and how he sets the standards. And I when he got back to Chelsea also, and even at that time he wasn't a key player under Tuchel, but he could always do a job. He fought his way in. And people forget this, that normally, and somebody made a brilliant analogy earlier on this page using James Milner. And James made a brilliant career for himself, not because he was technically gifted or something like that. And for me, why I kind of tilt towards, I mean, Conor, not because I cover him or not because I kind of tend to admire athletes who are hardworking, is just that there's respect and professionalism. And so if the club, like, you can't say they're selling Conor based on footballing reasons. You can tell me about all technical abilities and all playing style you want, as long as you want. But the point is that they see him as pure profit. They see him as one of those players they can sell to make good money and then balance the books. And once that has been established, then that also means Conor can also look at it purely from a financial point of view. And that means that he's like, okay, I don't have to be forced to accept a club just because Chelsea have accepted that, because Chelsea is looking out for their interest. I need to look after my interest at the moment. And that's where we are. I get that a lot of this topic is kind of really the biggest topic in Chelsea space in the last 48 hours because of the briefing and all that has happened. But I mean, having been speaking to people behind the scenes, this whole scenario is just where Chelsea is at the moment. And I think they would want to do a bit of tightening up and handle situations like this a bit better.
Yeah, well said. Well said, Roman. You've been really great stuff from you. We've got some more people coming up. So, Lifted. I remember that name. I think you might have come on as some of our post-match game things this season. And he's up. Good. So, Lifted, what are your thoughts on Conor Gallagher and this, everything we've been talking about tonight? Can I mute yourself and speak?
Okay, good evening, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. I just want to make a little bit of input on this, and this is by no means undermining any speaker that has spoken before. All of us sharing concerns and opinions. But I want to look at it a little bit differently in terms of Conor's management. And I want to highlight a little bit of Mount's situation, because when Mason Mount and his team found out that there was no going forward with the club, and they've come to a point of nobody's agreeing. They also had a backup plan, which they quickly, you know, they were proactive about it, and he moved to a choice, to a club he preferred. Now, in this situation, it looked as if Connor's team were leaving it too late, because at the end of the day, even from 2022, the club has always made it clear that at some point they will sell Connor, even Trevor. But for the love Connor has for the club, he has to stay put and fight. And it was significant. He made massive improvements in the last season. But I always thought of it this way. Maybe they could have found a way for him to leave when the ovation is loudest. I mean, he has had a fantastic season. And if the deal with Chelsea was not progressing, maybe it's time for us to even think of, you know, the best move for him. So the last week I mentioned it was the best move for Connor, rather than leaving it to the point that it's becoming a sour relationship between the club he loves and him personally. So because everything looks a little bit messy in front of everybody, both in India, both inside the Chelsea camp, is not really looking good. So I also felt that Connor's team or Chalobah's team, you guys have responsibility to advise your players better. Look, the club is not going to give us what we want, and you're not going to sit on the bench. You've passed the level of sitting on the bench. You deserve a start. Why not we make this move? It has to be a proactive movement here. Everybody's putting the club on the spotlight, but at the same time, let's not forget there have been players that come from the academy, and when the club weren't going to give them the kind of contract they want, they opted out. And they can still tomorrow call themselves Chelsea fans. Tammy Abraham is there. Tomori is there. These guys left the club amicably. Why? Because they found out that the club was not going to give them the kind of contract or space they want in the playing style there. And they moved to where they were appreciated. And it's not a crime. It's not really a crime. It's a thing of, okay, if you don't value me that much to make me a starter, then I go where I'm valued as much as making me a starter. Atletico clearly wants Conor Gallagher. They've shown that intent. Right? And again, from a perspective of where Tottenham came for Conor Gallagher, maybe out of respect for Chelsea, he didn't want to go to Tottenham. And I respect him for that. But now, this is Atletico coming in, and nobody knows the position. And I know everybody is hounding the club that the way they handled it is messy. And truly it's messy because the media, these guys, whether it's journalists or whatever, they want to know what is happening with Chelsea. Man United puts Scott McTominay or whatever on the market. Nobody cares. Everything has to be about Chelsea. Smith Rowe has transitioned moved from Arsenal to Fulham. Nobody cares. But once it's Chelsea, it becomes so sensitive, you begin to wonder, what's going on here? So let's be also a little bit balanced in terms of from the club's perspective and from Connor's management. That's where I'm seeing it from. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for that. That's really, it's really good, interesting points there. Like, and I do think that's a, like, I mean, Atletico Madrid, that is a great team to go to. You've got Simeone as manager, who I think is the best typical Chelsea manager who's actually never managed Chelsea and they probably never will. You know, a top manager who's won La Liga multiple times, got to Champions League finals, and is a really top team. They're playing Champions League football. At the moment, I mean, we're not playing Champions League football. It's kind of a step up. I say that half in jest because we know that Chelsea are a big club and we'll be back in the Champions League soon, but if he goes there, he's going to be competing for the Liga. He's going to be in the Champions League, competing for that. You know, he's going to be playing under a top manager. If he did want to go to Atletico Madrid, I wouldn't blame him. I wouldn't blame him at all. They weren't trying to sell him, and he chose to go there. I'd be disappointed, obviously, but, I don't feel this kind of, anger at players choosing to make decisions for their careers because they're professional footballers. And, you know, and they're not all professional footballers have the same mentality as fans. Now, Conor Gallagher is different. He's a Chelsea fan. So, you know, I think staying at Chelsea is his first choice. And that's great. And that's one of the reasons we love him, is because he prioritizes staying at Chelsea over every other club, regardless of Champions League, regardless of, you know, that's the intangibles that we love about Conor Gallagher, that he just loves Chelsea and he just wants to be at Chelsea and he wants to make it at Chelsea and he'll keep fighting for his place at Chelsea, even if he's written off. And I love that. I love that. And I think there's another reason to keep him for me. But if he wasn't, if he was, if, for example, he said, I want to go to Atletico, I want to play for them, I wouldn't hold it against him, because it's a good step in anyone's career, to go and play Champions League football at a club that can compete for trophies and has won the Liga recently, and a top manager. So, there are different points of view on this. The player's point of view, I think, is that he wants to stay. And also, I think you've got to be honest and say as well, Conor Gallagher could leave in 12 months on a free transfer and go wherever he wants and get paid huge amounts of money and a signing on fee. And his agent might be telling him that. And we don't know. You know, people might get angry if he chooses to do that, but after the way the club have treated him, I wouldn't blame him for doing that. Also the analogy of Scott McTominay that was made was interesting, because Scott McTominay was one of Man United's best players last season, and in their midfield, he scored a lot of important goals. I think he was one of their top scorers, actually. And he's an academy player, and the fans love him, kind of. And yet they're selling him. And they're selling him for, what, 20 million, I think? And Fulham, I think, want him. And other clubs are interested in him. And they're selling him for pure profit. That's what the report in The Athletic about him being sold said. They're selling him because he's an academy player and he's pure profit. And, Man United are in FFP trouble as well. So they need to sell. So they're doing the same thing. You know, there's lots of clubs that are doing this, and they're doing it with players that they don't believe are quite at the level to start regularly. We all think Conor Gallagher is good enough to start regularly, if he earned his spot. But I don't think he will be, but yeah, it's an interesting thing. So I think a lot of top clubs are doing now. Like Manchester City have done it for years. Arsenal have been doing it. They just sold Smith Rowe. And they've been selling other academy players. They sold a few last summer as well for pure profit, so that they could fund these big signings they've made elsewhere. And some of the signings that have come in haven't been as good. Some of them have more recently, but it is a pattern at top clubs now, unfortunately, apart from Liverpool. Liverpool haven't even spent anything this summer. They haven't bought a player. But it's a lot of club clubs are doing it now, and it doesn't make it right. And I'm not condoning it at all, but it is a pattern that seems to be developing in football.
I'm pretty sure the reason Liverpool haven't signed anybody is because they've sent their whole transfer budget on pledge for Arne Slot's forehead. Have you seen how shining that thing is in pre-season?
Yes, I have.
It's like I genuinely have seen like tables from DT less varnished. I made a box in DT in year 9 less varnished than that. I don't even know how that works. It's ridiculous.
I don't know. I mean, I'm my hair's not as long as it was, and you know, I did consider my last haircut getting a grade 0, you know, but then I realised I might have to polish it and stuff.
I'm still disappointed you didn't come and ask me. That's something which we need to rectify pretty quickly.
Well, you know, I'm going to be. Well, really, it's not that difficult. My haircut, like, you just have to shave. I just got to shave like 0.5 all over my head. That's it. Like,
job done.
And it's like a tenner, and the hairdresser is like 2 minutes from my house, literally. So I can be there and back in half an hour. Whereas you live in a different part of London, so. But if I was getting my hair done proper, I would come to you, of course.
Thanks, man.
Of course. Want to support our own, don't we? So, this is the final part of the space we've got. We'd love to have a couple more people up and hear your views on Conor Gallagher and Chelsea and the sporting directors and everything that we've been talking about. So if you want to come up, do request. We'll probably only be able to fit a couple in. So it'll basically be the first two that request, but make it fast. But we really want to hear from you. We want to hear from Chelsea fans and their thoughts on what's happening at our club. And yeah, so do request. We've got some good people here. So the coolest Chels, I like the coolest Chels. So if you request, we'll let you up. Louis, any more thoughts on things we've been talking about? Or waiting?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's been very positive tonight. I will say that. I've been very thoroughly impressed with how everyone's talked to each other in the space. It goes to show that it is possible to not scream at each other. And it's a nice bonus when that happens.
Yeah, I agree.
But, yeah, I think you can tell there is... It is split. And I don't understand why everyone's so split over Conor Gallagher. As you were saying earlier, the quality player, he's shown that statistically, emotively. Look at the four-corner model, the FA example. He is somebody who ticks every single box. Technically, he's gifted. You know, everything about him, he's just top draw. Yes, he's not as gifted as everyone, but, mate, he's still somebody who can deliver.
I mean, there's a lot of people who, on Twitter, whose opinion I really respect, who are happy for us to sell him. And that's fine. Everyone's entitled to their views. I think the thing that everyone is angry about is how it's been handled. And it's just another shambles, really. The way it's been handled. If you want to sell him, do it. You can do it with some class and respect, you know, and not this kind of shambolic way that we've done it and disrespectful way I think we've done it. But yeah, it is interesting. I mean, like a lot of people now want us to play this kind of fancy football. You know, we haven't really played it in Chelsea. You know, last year we were playing what is actually more like Chelsea. We were playing, it was more counter attack, more energetic, more like it suited Conor Gallagher, right? It was high energy, high intensity, you know, football, which Chelsea have played a lot of, but Enzo Maresca doesn't do that. And I'm not going to criticize Enzo Maresca because he's been a successful coach at Leicester and he was successful, you know, with Man City and the 21s. And, you know, everyone who's worked with him says he's a good coach. So, and also we played really well last night and I was really impressed, but, it's a different style of football and it's one that Chelsea fans aren't used to, but a lot of modern fans, and I say that because it's not just younger fans, there's some other fans as well, there's some older fans who like it as well. There's a lot of fans want us to play this way, and a lot of other teams are playing this way. And there was a bit more of an identity last night. Having said that,
I saw Marcelo Bielsa made a very, very interesting comment a few weeks ago. I was reading an interview with him. And it was talking about how football has become so boring because of that, though. The amount of data that people are having to look into. You think about Carlo Ancelotti when he was asked about data as well ahead of the Champions League final. You know, he's there going, yeah, it's important, but sometimes you've got to look at the intangibles. Everything's been boiled down to a fine science, and there's not... I feel like the joy is being ripped out of football. I want to see some players that can really just give you that joy, rather than just have that.
Yeah, and I think, I agree. Spontaneity, right? I mean, one of the things I love Real Madrid is exactly that. You know, it's not, they have, obviously, they're well set up tactically. They're well organised. And, you know, they have Carlo Ancelotti is a good tactician, but he gives his attackers freedom. He lets them express themselves in whatever way they want. So they're more unpredictable and you get big moments, right? And that, you know, and it works. God, you know, Carlo Ancelotti, he's won, what, 5 Champions Leagues now, is it? I can't even keep up with him. He's winning so many. Although Carlo Ancelotti was very complimentary about Enzo Maresca the other day in his coaching. And Enzo Maresca's been very adamant that he's not just another Pep, that he's got his own way of playing, although it's been influenced by Pep.
I really like that.
But really, he's also been influenced by Pellegrini and by other coaches that he's had, by Ancelotti, I think, as well. So he's not just a Pep regen. And I've seen his football. It is different from Pep's. But it's possession-based football, right? And so, you know, Chelsea fans are going to have to get used to that. And it can be good when it works. It can. And we have players that are suited to that style, largely. So it's not like we're just throwing in a style that doesn't suit us. I think, you know, that's fair. And I respect that. But it's not my preferred style. I'm not going to lie. But, you know, I'm like you. You know, I kind of like the old kind of Carlo Ancelotti style. I love Carlo. We all love Carlo, don't we? But yeah. And those intangibles, you're right. They're as important as all the data and stuff. So you need intangibles. And there's no way you can measure those. Although I'm sure that somebody will find a way to measure those as well, eventually. Stuff like leadership and character and connection and, you know, all that kind of thing. That you can't kind of just find on a spreadsheet at the moment. They'll probably find a way to find it on a spreadsheet eventually. Because that's what they do. But yeah, you're right. I mean, like the spontaneity, like in football, I love that. This is why VAR has taken a lot out of the game for me, because like you can't even celebrate a goal now. You have to wait until if it's like that last minute goal against Manchester United, right? And say that had gone to VAR, you know, like it's just like, it just sucks all the energy out of that moment. And football's about that. You know, you have to have those kind of big moments of emotion and joy. And that's what part of being a football fan is all about. So you're right about that, Louis. All right. Well, nobody's coming up. We would love to hear from a couple more people, but if nobody else is coming up, then we can probably wrap up.
We've been going for a solid hour and 45. So I think let's call it a night, mate. It's been a long day. I'm sure everyone's sort of getting ready now. Press conference, bedtime, going out, whatever you're doing, you know, hope you enjoy your Saturday or Friday. Sorry. That's how tired I am. Hope you enjoy your Friday nights. Score, it's been great to be back, mate. Can't wait for the season to start.
Yeah, me too. It's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. And we will be back. Final score with the score. We'll be back for the start of the season for the first Premier League game. And we'll be back every week as normal. A lot more fixtures this year as well. So it's going to be good. And I'm excited about it. As ever, do keep an eye on the Chelsea Echo and for all the content they produce. There's some really great content they produce, and not just my show, but loads of other shows. They've got a Sunday.
Can I do the plug?
They've got a good Sunday supplement coming this weekend, I think, with a very special guest. Check that out on Sunday morning. That'll be live. Thanks everyone for coming. Thanks everyone for being part of this, and look forward to next preseason game and then onto the season. So up the Chelsea.